It's time for the Horn High School Spotlight.
This is a great place. You can tell by the laminated high school football schedule on the wall.
With Texas High School Football Hall of Fame broadcaster, Craig Way.
We've got Texas High School football at its finest.
A complete look at high school football in the greater Austin, Central Texas area and across the state.
You don't know what you're going to get. This is high school sports.
The Horn High School Spotlight is brought to you by the Gene Arant Team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gene Arant Team, changing lives through real estate.
It's time to talk football.
Now, with the Horn High School Spotlight, here's Craig Way.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a game day Thursday. No, wait, let's correct that. It's a playoff game day Thursday. The playoffs have arrived in Texas high school football. Beginning tonight, 704 teams will vie for 12 state championships. There will be 64 team brackets in 6A Division 1, 6A Division 2, 5A Division 1, 5A Division 2, 4A Division 1, 4A Division 2, 3A Division 1, 3A Division 2, 2A D1, 2A D2, and 32 team brackets in the six-man classifications of 1A Division 1 and 1A Division 2. My name is Craig Way. Thank you for joining us here on the Horn High School Spotlight. We do talk high school football in the space up until 11 o'clock, and then it's Trey and BK with the midday. And so it is our appointed duty and responsibility to get you ready for the bi-district round of the playoffs. There are games tonight, starting tonight. Of course, as is the case with Texas high school football, at least in the first couple of weeks, maybe even the first 3 weeks, the main thrust and majority of the football games will take place on Friday night, but not all of them. There are still plenty on Thursday and a few on Saturday as well. We'll break down all of the Thursday games in the area. Coming up momentarily, we'll visit with Roger Wallace, my broadcast partner on the Longhorn IMG Radio Network, who, of course, calls the play-by-play for KXAN KBVO. He's the sports director at KXAN KBVO's Big Game of the Week. They do have a game tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandergrift Vipers, joins us later in the hour, as he does each Thursday. They have a game tomorrow night in the bi-district round of the playoffs. And then our Whataburger top five road trips. I'll say the same thing I said yesterday about top five players to watch this week. I'll say the same thing that I'll say about the feature tomorrow, the top five matchups. They're all equal in my eyes because they are all playoff games. They all count the same. You don't get to jump ahead to the regional round, the Sweet 16 or the quarterfinals by winning your first game. Conversely, if you lose, you didn't lose 11 games. You lost one game, but you lost the one game that would have kept your season alive. So they all count the same. So same thing with road trips. It's just that some people have a little farther bus ride than others, and that's how we're able to separate that. So we'll go over that momentarily. But as we mentioned, the playoffs do begin tonight, and that includes the KBVO big game that'll be going on at the field, the field in Pflugerville tonight. Wipe off the mic flag there. It'll be the matchup between Stony Point and Manor. Roger Wallace, who will call the action with Coach Steve Gideon tonight on KBVO, joins us now. Playoffs feel any different to you? I know they feel different to coaches and players. What about to people who call the games? Does it feel any different to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, last week felt different because it was, you know, for a district championship, but you knew both teams were moving on, and you knew that it really didn't affect who they were playing or where they were playing. But certainly tonight, and you look at a game like tonight, and if Maynard's healthy, I don't know if I can pick a favorite. And I think, you know, first round, there are some mismatches, but this one seems to be pretty even. Now, on paper, it's 2-5-5s. We know Stony Point had to, you know, forfeit a couple of those non-district games, so they've won seven games on the field. But still, saw Maynard take Bowie to overtime, and San Marcos, and believe it or not, they played Bowie and San Marcos at the exact same score. They lost 39-36, but they're banged up, so hopefully they'll be healthy tonight.
What I'm going to say here is in no way, shape, or form meant to disparage or point a finger at any specific coach or program, but I illustrate this only as an example of how the playoffs are different. And tell me if you, not necessarily this year, but you've been doing playoff games for several years, so you can tell me if you've encountered this in the past. I know I have. When we do games and we go visit with coaches, quite often, especially as you draw later in the season, week 7, 8, 9, 10, when we get down there down the home stretch of the season, quite often we'll have a matchup that it might be a mismatch, it might not be, but it might feature a team that's really kind of downtrodden, a team that's been beat up by injuries or circumstances or whatever, and you kind of get that vibe a little bit from the coach that, hey, you know, we're just kind of holding it together, and or in some cases we're just trying to finish it out on a good note. You don't get that in the playoffs. That's a good thing because everybody's starting equal, at least in terms of the bracket anyway, so you do get all of that spirit and enthusiasm and excitement from the coaches and the players at this point.
No doubt. And the other funny thing is talk to Coach A, and if B is beat up, they're not going to acknowledge anything about it. We just hope we can hang with them. Mm-mm. I think I hear that pretty much unilaterally across the board. Hope we can have great athletes. Hope we can hang with them. Hope we've got enough. Deep down, they know that other coaches probably thinking the same thing. So you're right. Maynard did not have their quarterback, for instance, last week against Aikens. So, but they've got some outstanding players on the defensive side. I think O'Shawn Mathis is the most dominating player we've seen this year on KBVO, their defensive end. And so I'm sure that's all Craig Cheshire is thinking about, how we're going to make plays against that Maynard defense. And it's kind of odd because they've given up points, but I don't think coaches care.
Yeah.
Players like that scare coaches.
Yeah. I mean, would you not say, I was thinking about this last night, that Maynard may be one of the more fascinating stories this year in 6A, given what they've had to do with, given their enrollment numbers, all of these kinds of things, and the injuries that have happened, and at times they've looked good enough to play with just about anybody, and then other times, if you lose a key player, last week is a perfect example where a team with only two wins can get fired up and find a way to beat you and get into the playoffs, and that makes them a little more of an interesting study to me than some other playoff teams might ordinarily be, especially at 5-5.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, they have the defensive side is where they have the guys that are already projected at the next level. Mathis is committed to TCU, but everybody's still coming after him. Jeremy Fowler, you know, Eric Fowler's little brother is a D1 guy. But offense, they've got a lot of speed, and they've got some dangerous guys. And if Pat Ridge, their quarterback, is able to go, they're going to scare any defense. And then Stoney's the same way. Stoney's got great speed on offense, and, you know, they play the two quarterbacks. They don't have Kendall Thomas, their sophomore, who is kind of the closest thing I've seen to Deion Collins at LBJ as far as a kid that just kind of glides on the turf. I think both of these teams are interesting because there's great skill, but both have, you know, had their struggles as well.
And that's where I was going to go with Stoney Point next, because they have their own interesting set of fascination with regard to the fact that it's a team that has used effectively a two quarterback system, and Craig Cheshire is quite comfortable with it, and he's done that before. We've known him for, you know, over a decade, and he's done that two quarterback system, so he's been pretty comfortable with that when he's had to go with it.
Yeah, he did it all the way to the state semifinals. Back in the, you know, that run 08 to 010, 011, the 10 team, 14-1, that was a team that lost to Eagles Trinity up in Waco. And he runs two quarterbacks out there, and it's got to be a defensive coordinator's headache. You know, that's just one more factor you've got to have an eye on every time, especially if they offer different things.
Yeah.
And I think they do in this case this year. I think Rybacek's more of a runner, certainly capable of throwing it. He throws at a very high percentage, just doesn't throw it as much. And then Rengel is more of a passer, thrown for nearly 1,200 yards. But, yeah, as a defensive coach, that's just one more thing you got to worry about, not to mention all the speed on the outside led by number one, Trayshawn Pickett, who is he's a blur as well.
Was there any story, too, or any interesting elements to why – the field in Pflugerville was selected for the bi-district game?
Well, it was they finished the same spot in the district, so therefore it wasn't a home field for one or the other. So mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense geographically. It's an easy
Nice shiny new stadium.
Nice shiny new stadium. And Todd Raymond, the athletic director at Pflugerville, has, you know, made no quips about it. He wants to host playoff games there. That's one of the reasons they have that stadium. And sure enough, they got that. And the Palace has also got a game tonight. Cedar Ridge will host Aikens tonight. So you've got those two nice new stadiums, or relatively new for the Palace, hosting playoff games.
True enough. Roger Wallace joining us here on the Vaqueros Cafe Hotline as we talk high school playoff football. Yeah, Thursday night games getting underway. And we're seeing, I mentioned this yesterday, we're seeing more Thursday night games than we ever have in Texas high school football playoffs. And it's not because folks say, well, the playoffs have expanded. They've been at this number for a few years, the 704 number with the 64 team brackets all the way down through 2A and then the 232 team brackets. So that hasn't changed in that respect. What I am finding, and I'll go in reverse order from the way I laid it out yesterday, the lower classifications, those that have designs on playing for a state championship, have to kind of work from the rear and move forward, so to speak, because they know that those state championship games, some of them actually start on Wednesday, and then you've got Thursday games, and half of the state championship games will be played before Friday. So, that old thing, you know, coaches being creatures of habit, they like to be able to have their full week of preparation, even if it's Thursday to Thursday instead of Friday to Friday. And I know you've noticed that as well, that we're seeing more Thursday games this year.
Yeah, they just back time it, and might as well start early on. Next week's a little different because of the holiday. But I think now it's not as big a deal because it's not, a home stadium necessarily. In some cases, and it's a playoff, so it's kind of a one-off. Here's what needs to get done for us, and so I think there's probably less variables that go into deciding to play a Thursday game during the playoffs as opposed to the regular season when they kind of can control everything earlier on. But we're happy to kind of spread it out, and I know there's a lot of great matchups tomorrow night, but it's always nice to have a few early on in the week to get things rolling.
Let me just toss a couple of games at you and get your immediate thought. And you don't necessarily have to pick a winner, but if you do, that's fine too. But I'm just kind of curious as to how you see the matchups. One of those you mentioned Cedar Ridge and Aikens, and I think that the story here is more about there's two stories. One, that Aikens made this great dramatic push to get in, and that's certainly their story from their side. And then from the Cedar Ridge side, I think it's, folks are looking at it as, could this be the year they finally make that real serious push in the playoffs instead of a couple of rounds?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. We talked with Rick Cantu, the Statesman, last night, and these AISD schools that get in, it's so great for them just to get that extra week, knowing that Aikens is going to have a hard time, honestly, playing with Cedar Ridge. So, it is what it is. But for them to get in is, might be the equivalent of another program to make it two or three rounds deep. But Cedar Ridge, last year was a great example. You go through 10-0, and then boom, your playoff run ends that quickly. So again, loaded with talent. They seem to have made a seamless, move with the new coach, new head coach, Sam Robinson. So, I haven't looked at their bracket closely like I'm sure you have, but, it appears they have all the tools to make a run. And as you know, it's about matchups, because you don't necessarily get an easier game in week two than week five. You could have a tougher game in week two, the second round. And that's what makes this playoff format so interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think, Craig, about – I talked to Rick about it. Do you like 6 weeks to win it all? I know the way it's constructed, you have to, but it's such a long, long run for these schools.
It is. I think we've become used to it, though. You think about it. Going back even into the 70s and even really into the 60s, for folks who think it's really long, you were playing 5 weeks back then. That was into the 70s. So that's 40 years ago that we're still playing. That's why Odessa Permian's band adopted the theme from Hawaii 5-0 in the 70s, because it was meant to signify a five-week run through the playoffs.
Nice.
Yeah, the whole thing there. Two other matchups I think that I really think are fascinating. I wanted to get your thoughts on Hendrickson and Bowie. Obviously, tomorrow night, that's one of the ones. The other one that really I think is one of the better bi-district matchups in the entire state of Texas, regardless of classification. And Bowie and Hendrickson can fall into that category as well. But the other one, I think, is Vandegrift and Lady Bird Johnson out of San Antonio. They meet for the second straight year.
Yeah, and the thing about Vandegrift, and you'll have Drew on, but they seem to have gotten better as a season. They played that brutal non-district, but it seemed to serve them well, and had a chance to beat Westlake and played really well. So I like Vandegrift. I've always liked the way they play. They play smart. And then toss a coin with Bowie and Hendrickson. Bowie, you know, they lost their quarterback, so that hurts them without Trinidad Sanders. But, you know, they're always tough, and it was I was a little surprised they lost that game last week to San Marcos. But, you know, they had a ball with a chance, and San Marcos came up with a play at the end of the game. So, yeah, that one really fascinates me. It's always fun to have those two local teams that are evenly matched, seemingly. You know, sometimes you get the two locals, but you kind of have an idea of what the outcome is before it starts. This one, I have no idea what's going to happen.
I think that's a great way to put it. Rog, thanks for the time. Have fun tonight.
All right, Craig, thanks.
All right. Roger Wallace, who will be calling it on KBVO with Steve Gideon tonight and on KBVO Channel 51. That'll be Manor and Stony Point. And that very well could be one of the better bi-district matchups, not only in this area, but perhaps in the state of Texas. Like I said, the one that is going on tomorrow down in San Antonio is the one between Vandegrift and Claudia Taylor Ladybird Johnson High School, as they'll meet in San Antonio at Hero Stadium. So that'll be one. We'll get to that in just a moment. The other Thursday games that I just wanted to call your attention, because I promised yesterday we'd run down the Thursday schedule for at least with regard to the games in Central Texas, because there are a bunch around here. If you feel like you got to get out and go to see a game somewhere, obviously the Manor Stony Point bi-district matchup at the field in Pflugerville is one of those. Cedar Ridge and Aikens there at the Kelly Reeves Athletics Complex in Round Rock. There's a couple there. Rouse is on the road to take on Magnolia West in Bryan. In fact, this weekend there are three matchups involving area schools having to play bi-district games in the Bryan-College Station-Brazos Valley region, and two of them are at the same stadium, one Thursday night, one Friday night. The one Thursday night tonight is Rouse and Magnolia West. Also tonight, and that's in 5A Division I, in 3A D1, Lago Vista's playing Edna, and they're playing down at Bastrop Memorial Stadium down in Cedar Creek, another busy venue where there will be games going on throughout the weekend, and that includes Cedar Park playing there tomorrow night. Luling is playing Hallettsville. Hallettsville, a state-ranked team, and they're playing in Cuero. That's tonight in 3A Division II. How about Florence, the Buffaloes? They're the alma mater of Jeff Howe, who's certainly one of our key contributors here on the Horn. Jeff played on a Florence Buffalo playoff team. This is only the second time in school history that Florence will have back-to-back trips to the playoffs. They did it in the late 50s, and now back-to-back trips to the playoffs. The reward for that is playing an undefeated Tidehaven team in the bi-district round. They're playing in Brenham tonight. So those are all the Thursday games. All right, coming up, we'll talk about that big Friday game, which, again, I think it's one of the best matchups in the entire state of Texas, regardless of classification. That's coming up tomorrow night at Hero Stadium in San Antonio between Vandegrift and Lady Bird Johnson High. So that's tomorrow night, and we'll visit with Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. So we gave you that Thursday rundown, our rundown of games presented to you by Total Men's Primary Care. Up next, again, we'll talk Vandegrift Vipers football with the head coach, Drew Sanders, here on the High School Spotlight on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app at hornfm.com.
Welcome back to the Horn High School Spotlight, presented by the Gene Arant team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gene Arant team, changing lives through real estate.
We continue at 10:26 here on the Horn High School Spotlight. It is time for our weekly conversation with the head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, Drew Sanders, whose team gets ready for the playoffs. Drew, I'll start off by quoting you from last Friday. In fact, I even quoted it when I was on the High School Scoreboard Live show, which I wasn't in the studio because of the Texas basketball game, but they wanted some of my misspent views and opinions on things. So they had me call and weigh in on a couple of things. And they asked me about 25-6A, and we obviously talked about Westlake and Lake Travis. We talked about your matchup with Lake Travis, and I said, nobody put it better than Drew Sanders and said, you can't spot a defending state champion a 21-0 lead and think you're going to win the football game. Mm-hmm. And that is what happened to your team, and yet it had to be, you had to be impressed with how your team didn't take the mindset of, okay, they're up 21-0. This is not happening for us tonight. The game doesn't mean anything anyway. We got a playoff game next week. They didn't take that direction, and I was kind of impressed by that.
Yeah, I mean, good teams are kind of – I kind of feel like good teams are kind of like a boa constrictor, you know. They kind of just squeeze you a little bit. They squeeze you a little bit more, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you know, you're about to be dead, and you didn't even realize it. And that's kind of what good teams do. And that's what they were doing to us. They were putting the squeeze on us. Thankfully, we were able to bust out of it and put it off. But, you know, I'm telling you that we knew going in that we had to play well early. And, you know, sometimes as a coach, it's frustrating because you feel like you worked hard. You feel like you had good practice. You feel like you like your game plan. And you go in and you've got decent energy before a game. And then you go out and you just – they just score, and you can't score. You can't get a first down. So, you know, that's frustrating as a coach, but part of it is a credit to them. They are a very good team. And so, you know, we are trying to get to that level. We're very, very close. We had Westlake on the ropes. For the first time in our history, we've actually competed with Lake Travis. You know, we've played them. It's our fourth time to play them, and we've had a hard time hanging with those guys. So has a lot of the other part of the state. But, you know, it's nice to see that as we go into 6A, we can be competitive with anyone we play. And so hopefully we'll take that and grow that into not only being competitive, but winning those games and winning the games that we need to win to be one of the elite teams in the state.
You touched on something, and I've heard coaches at all levels, mention this, and this includes the college coaches, NFL coaches, that apparently one of the more baffling elements of the entire dynamic of coaching is to have an outstanding week of practice, have your guys, the vibe you get from all those years, you trust your feelings, and the vibe you get is that your guys are indeed ready to play. They're emotionally ready, they're focused, they're dialed in. And then it doesn't happen, and they're kind of flat or just doesn't happen for whatever reason. Is that one of the more baffling things? One of those unexplained sciences in coaching?
Yes, it is. It is. You know, you can try to figure out kids and what's going to happen, but you truly never know. You truly never know. And so that is the crazy thing. Is after 20 years of coaching, I'll go before a game, and somebody will say, "How you feel?" And you know, I'm not quite sure how to answer that because I really, you really don't know. But the only thing I have learned over the years is you just control what you can, which is practice really hard in an intense manner, in an organized manner. Make sure our guys understand what our game plan is. Demand nothing but, don't allow anything but the best from our guys, and generally that works out in your favor. And then when the times it doesn't, then you go just dive into the tape and you try to fix it, and you go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you've had it be the other way before too, where you didn't have a really good feeling, then they went out and they were just tearing down the house, right?
Yeah, no, that's happened several times. I remember just last year against the team we're playing this week, the Johnson Jaguars, you know, we went in and we had just been beaten pretty good, pretty soundly by Lake Travis. And you know, I thought the guys worked hard, but I wasn't so sure how we were going to perform. I wasn't so sure if we were mentally ready to go get after somebody after being, you know, just really beat bad by Lake Travis. And our guys showed up. And so they surprised me. So, you know, that's why this coaching thing's so fun, because, you know, right when you think you got it figured out, there's the positive side of it too, where all of a sudden somebody does something and you're like, wow. And that's kind of what the Texas High School playoffs are about too.
Vandergrift Vipers head coach Drew Sanders joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe Hotline. Okay, let's talk about Johnson. Let me start by you kind of gave us a little bit of an insight about how you weren't sure going the last year. What are the most vivid recollections you have about that team last year, and is it that much different than the team you're going to face tomorrow night?
No, they're a lot of the same. You know, Johnson was picked to win their district with so many guys coming back. They had 8-8 back off of a district runner-up team, and they ended up going undefeated in district. They, I recognize a lot of their players because the quarterback's back, the both receivers are back, some of their defense, a lot of their defense is back. And so they are very similar. They're similar in their style. It's the same head coach, Coach Riddiman, who me and Coach Riddiman have battled against each other actually since I was in San Antonio. I was an assistant coach in San Antonio. I was a defensive coordinator at San Antonio Taft. He was the offensive coordinator at Madison. So we've gone against each other since probably 2003. And so me and him are actually friends. We've been on the board, the Texas High School Coaching Association board, for a few years. He's a great great role model and a great person to be around. He's a great coach there. But that team has stayed consistent. They stayed the same, and they will provide all we can handle on Friday night for sure.
What's what really stands out to you most about them?
They just love to pound the ball. They probably have about three guys that weigh around 280 to 300 pounds on their offensive line, and they move pretty well. And so they're going to say, we're going to establish a run, and they'll play action you. They've got a 6'4 wide receiver that probably weighs 200 pounds, and they're going to play action to him, number 11. So that is it. I summed up their entire season of work in about 30 seconds. But that is what they do. And then defensively, they are known for just running around to the ball. They run a 3-4, but, man, they just do a great job of swarming. And that's probably the highest compliment I can give an opposing defensive coach is if I view their guys as hustling around, and they really hustle around.
Yeah, one of the things that I found and why I said this I thought was one of the better matchups in the state of Texas in the bi-district round, regardless of classification, certainly one of the top matchups in 6A, is the dichotomy that's presented offensively on the field with the way they like to run the ball and the way your group can get it up and down the field.
Yeah, and you know, it's pretty interesting because we think we can throw the ball pretty well. Justin's had a great year. We have several good receivers, not just one. Of course, Peyton Ozzie's our leading receiver, but we have several great receivers that can catch the ball and score with it once they get it in their hands. And then we're going against their swarming D. And then on the other side, they love to run the ball. And we actually, if you look at us, and I know some of those football fans have watched us play this year or heard about our D-line. Our D-line is one of the best in the area. And so I'm excited to see that matchup.
In terms of what you need to do defensively, you talked about the size thing. How do coaches, and like you said, you're an old defensive coach, so how do you counter with what they're doing and the size they have up front with how you get their guys on the ground, with how you make the tackles to make sure they don't get that ground game really rolling?
You got to make sure that they can't grab you. And so anybody, that sounds really simple, but anybody that plays us knows that we move our front a lot. There is very rarely a play that I let my guys just say, you versus him, hit him and see what happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we are always moving our defensive line and our linebackers fit off of that. And so they're used to that. That's what we've done. Really, I've started doing that the last two or three years of just moving our front, and we have been so successful with that. And so, you know, it really eliminates the base blocks because when you try to block a guy and then all of a sudden he pinches to the inside gap, then you step outside and then all of a sudden he's free. And makes a tackle in the backfield. So that's why we do that, and they'll get a steady dose of that for sure on Friday night. They know that. They've watched our film for sure.
Yeah, well, and your guys, you've done a good job by and large of being physical on defense. I think that I've noticed that even in the games against teams like a Westlake or a Lake Travis, both of the coaches came away saying they knew they were in a physical football game, and that's all coaches can really ask of their defenses right now.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, what a huge compliment to be paid. Because I want that said about us. And so, you know, I feel like we can be very physical while still moving and that kind of stuff. You know, I think that we have showed that a physical football team that can stop the run is a good football team, and I think that's what we are.
I want to go back to something you said to me going into the season opener against Odessa Permian, and that was the whole dynamic of getting your guys on a bus, and of course, you went over 400 miles going out west to Odessa, but you said, but part of the value here is, I said, in I remember these words pretty vividly, you said, we're at the end of August, but somewhere down the road, probably in the playoffs, The team building and the bonding that we develop during the course of the season starts with a trip like this, so that if we do have to make a road trip in the postseason, we know the drill and we feel comfortable. Well, this isn't a real long road trip, but it's a road trip. You got to put guys on the chartered buses and head down to San Antonio. So I guess you draw on that all of that stuff that happened way back in August.
Yeah, you sure do. And so when we go to our guys and they're getting on the bus, this isn't the first time they've done it. They understand how we're going to do meals, how we're going to do the snacks for them, and staying hydrated. And they understand that we have bus lists, and check the bus list, and you know where you're sitting. And don't expect to get a seat by yourself, and don't act goofy when we get on the bus. I mean, all of those things that may even sound funny to fans that are listening to this, that you may have forgotten what it's like to be a high school kid. And so even something like a charter bus will cause a young man to sprint towards the bus, or, you know, so all of those things factor in, I think, into your mental preparation for the game. My college coach always taught me, Jimmy Keeling at Hardin-Simmons always said, the mental is to physical is 3 is to 1. And I say that, my team actually could quote that because we say that all the time. And so our mental stuff, I think, really affects how we perform physically, and so that, just getting on a bus the correct way, I think makes a team play better when they get off the bus.
Well, and you just touched on something else that I know a lot of the rank and file fans don't think about, the organizational element that has to go into arranging a trip, because it's not just you. You've got a band that's going down, a very impressive band. You've got a dance team. You've got cheerleaders. You have a whole traveling party, and with multiple buses, and all of that stuff has to be coordinated and worked out, even as you zero in on your team.
Yeah, you got to have your list. You got to check all those lists. My trainer, Chris Shivers, does an amazing job, and he organizes a lot of that stuff. But we have all of our student trainers is another group that everybody always brings. And then you have your student filmers and managers and ball boys. And so everybody needs to know where they're going to sit. Everybody needs to know what they're supposed to bring, when you pack, when you unpack, all of that stuff. But that's fun to do that kind of stuff. As long as you're organized, it's fun, because this is what, you know, the cliche is, this is why you lift all those weights. This is why you do it, because you get to get on the road and go play a 6A playoff game. And so we're very, very excited.
Yeah, and I would imagine this was something that when I was visiting with the other coaches this week about, and they all agreed, this is the excitement. Guys don't seem to mind practice as much, do they, now when you're getting ready for these games?
No, they really don't. And one thing that I learned from, once again, Coach Keeling, was once we get in the playoffs, we shorten practices down. We feel like we kind of know how to tackle now. We are, of course, we haven't mastered it, but we're still, you know, we feel like we've got the basics of our blocks and our things like that. So we start to shorten practice up a little bit because it's been a long season. We practice less in full pads and more in what I call just shell, which is shoulder pads and helmet. And so those kinds of things make practice more fun too, that they know, all right, it's going to be a little shorter. I can do this for an hour and a half. Let's go, instead of 2 hours or whatever. And so little things like that, I think, keep teams fresh and keep teams excited and looking forward to being around each other, because the team that really likes each other generally plays a lot longer, you know.
It is the Vipers from Matthew Vandegrift High on the road trip down to take on the Jaguars from Claudia Taylor, Lady Bird Johnson, the Jags. They're at Hero Stadium in San Antonio tomorrow night. You'll hear it on 101.9 AM 1260 here from the stations of the Austin Radio Network. Drew, thanks for joining us as always. Appreciate it. Best of luck tomorrow night.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
You bet. Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. Coming up, we bring you our Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips. Yeah, that's one of them. No big mystery there. Vandegrift at Hero Stadium to play Lady Bird Johnson high tomorrow. Yeah, that's one of the Whataburger top five road trips of the week involving the Central Texas area schools. There's several. It's kind of almost like a double meat with cheese edition. It's not quite the double meat, but you went large with the fries on it, put it that way, and you upsized to the big drink. That's what's coming up next with our Whataburger Top 5 listing here on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive
today's edition.
Here we go!
Top 5 Road Trips.
First of all, thanks again to Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, for joining us. to preview that matchup. I sincerely believe that it is one of the better matchups in the state of Texas. In fact, I never like to think that I'm so impersonal as to have the mind of a computer. But when I was looking through all the computer printout, readouts, all the data, that remember I told you about this, that list actually the schools, Jerry Forrest does this with Pigskin Prep, and you know, which schools should be picked to win these games, and they actually put down by how many points. It's not a point spread thing for wagering, but it's the way the computer prints it out. Well, the Vandegrift-Johnson game is one of the lower point differences between the two schools, is the best way to describe it.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
But there is math in this, and unfortunately. And there's math that goes into figuring out mileage. Mileage for road trips, which brings us to our Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips of the Week. Now, again, I'm going to continue to, you know, bang the gong on this. You'll hear me say that all playoff games are equal in my mind. So to select one playoff game over another and say this is more important, that's incorrect. That would be a fallacy. I pointed it out yesterday. I'll say it again. The matchup between, what did I say yesterday? Follett and Silverton. And Follett is way, way, way up at the top of the state of Texas. I mean, it's right by the Oklahoma border. In fact, Follett, Texas, is closer to most of the towns in the state of Kansas than it is to Austin, Texas. That's how far north it is. Anyway, they're playing Silverton, and it's in the smallest division of the smallest classification. But that matchup is every bit as important as, say, what I say, Allen and Hebron, which is two schools with thousands of students in it in 6A Division I, because all playoff games count the same. However, all road trips are not equal. There are longer road trips, and you're about to find out why, speaking of smallest classifications in division. We'll get to that in a moment. Number five on the Whataburger Top 5 Road Trips is actually, and this is why I said this is kind of a sized-up edition of it, it's a three-way tie with three-fourths of the AISD's 25-5A playoff representatives. First of all, in terms of all the AISD representatives, it works out pretty well for Bowie. They're playing in their backyard in 6A. But in 5A, involving the 25-5A schools, only LBJ has a short bus ride. They just have to go up Palmer Lane to the Kelly Reeves Athletics Complex for their matchup, although it's going to be a difficult enough assignment at the Palace on Palmer, taking on the number 8 team in the state in 5A Dripping Springs. But the other three representatives from 25-5A, Austin High, Crockett, and McCallum all have trips into the Hill Country for their bi-district games. Now, Austin High is the shortest road. They just go down I-35 to New Braunfels. Yeah, I know that. I just kind of just said that. Oh, you just get on I-35 and go down to New Braunfels. You been on I-35 in the afternoon lately? You seen what that's like? Not much fun. It's still going to probably equate to about the same amount of time on the bus going down I-35. But anyway, distance-wise, they just go down I-35 to New Braunfels to face Bernie Champion at Unicorn Stadium tomorrow night. Crockett has to go all the way down to Kerrville to face Tyvee at Antler Stadium in their Division II matchup tomorrow night. And McCallum has the longest trip of the three. They've got to go out west of San Antonio to Castroville to play Medina Valley after losing a coin flip to host a playoff game tomorrow. 10-0 in the district champ, having to make the longest road trip. May not sound right to some of you, but those who have been around the game for a few years understand the dynamics of coin flips and what I call zip code draw for sites and dates of playoff games. I explained it yesterday when you get two coaches on the telephone and they're separated by dozens and dozens, or in some cases hundreds of miles, and they got to figure out where they're going to have a playoff game, and they can't come to a decision on where to a neutral site, so they decide to go home and home. And so they have that old coaching directory they have in front of them, and one of them calls out a school's name, and he might say Lexington, and then the other coach immediately has to say odd or even, and the last digit of the zip code of Lexington, whether it's odd or even, determines who gets to host a playoff game. That's what I call zip code draw. You have that. And so yeah, it does take away the old thing where coaches would drive, like, you know, 50 miles from opposite directions or 100 miles, meet at some diner and flip a coin just to decide who gets to play at home. They used to do that. They used to do that a lot. Now they figured out a more high-tech way of doing it, zip code draw, so to speak. Number four is, and by the way, one other point about that, for those of you who say, man, that's a long way for an undefeated team to go to play on the road, take a look at Argyle. Argyle is the number three team in the state in 4A, in 4A Division I. And they've got to play Snyder in the bidest round of the playoffs. Snyder is 2-8 going into the playoffs. 2-8. Argyle is 10-0. And they lost the coin flip, and they got to drive over 200 miles to play a game at the home field of the 2-8 team. Such are the dynamics of Texas high school playoff football. Number four is Georgetown against Huntsville at Tigerland Stadium in College Station in the 5A Division II Region 3 bracket. Number three, also a trip to the Brazos Valley. Hutto has a difficult bi-district matchup with Brenham at Merrill Green Stadium in Bryan. Counting the Georgetown-Huntsville game in College Station tomorrow night and Rouse-Magnolia-West pairing at Merrill Green Stadium in Bryan tonight, there are three bi-district games in the Brazos Valley. Number two, Vandegrift-San Antonio-Johnson at Hero Stadium in San Antonio. The UIL's new pilot program of allowing all higher-seeded 6A teams to host bi-district games comes into play here. Vandegrift technically finished in third place in 25-6A behind Westlake and Lake Travis, and they're in the runner-up position of Westlake in the Division II bracket. Lady Bird Johnson High of San Antonio is the district champ from 26-6A, so the Jaguars, being in the D2 bracket, they get to host a game. And number one is Granger at Rock Springs. Ronald John Elling III is in here because Trey and BK bringing the midday show is up next. Trey, do you know where Rock Springs, Texas is?
I'm going to guess somewhere between Stephenville and Abilene.
Okay. What about you, Wags? Adam Wagner, do you know where Rock Springs, Texas is?
Not a chance. Sorry.
Okay. It's the opposite direction where you're saying.
Damn.
All right. Let me put it to the folks out there. How many of you out there know where Rock Springs, Texas is? You know how far out there is? Let me put it to you this way. Rock Springs is 80 miles from the border with Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's where a bi-district playoff game is going to match up. This is a matchup of districts 13-2A Division II and 14-2A Division II, and it represents some interesting, if not cruel, irony of the entire intent of the split division alignment of the lower classifications of high school football. This is the way it was originally laid out. The number one reason for splitting Class 2A, 3A, then 4A, and probably next year 5A into the respective Division I and Division II classifications prior to the start of the season was to help in scheduling, especially for the very small schools. Split division scheduling would mean fewer long road trips for the schools in a given district. And by and large, that's worked. It also does mean fewer teams in a district, which open an entirely new can of worms with unintended consequences, like 1-9 teams getting the playoffs, because if four teams get in and there's only five teams in your district, all you need to do is win one game. One district game and you're in the postseason.
Hey, Craig, this is a little bit off topic, but I'm curious, what is your all-time favorite, like, old-school Texas football stadium? Probably small town is what I'm thinking of along those lines. Like, is there a classic stadium that comes to mind that you just enjoyed watching a game in the past?
Absolutely, or calling a game. And by the way, just to finish up on Rock Springs, they have one of the better mascot names in the state of Texas, the Angoras.
What is that?
You know what an Angora is? You ought to know. Wags, do you know what an Angora? I say you ought to know. I don't know that you would know. Do you know what an Angora is?
I ought to know, but I don't.
It's a sheep.
Huh.
It's a sheep.
Why would I know that?
Because he's calling you a follower, Adam.
I don't know. The economy of Rock Springs, by the way, is centered on the wool and mohair industry.
I would have guessed mining rock.
And the town is recognized as the Angora goat capital of the world.
So wait a second. It's the goat capital of the world, but they call themselves sheeps?
That's right. I said sheep. I meant goats.
Oh, okay.
It's Angora goats. Sorry about that. So anyway, that's where Granger has to go from, right astride the Williams and Bell County line, and they've got to go all the way out to Rock Springs.
That dude is committed.
All right. Answer to your question, Denison used to have an old stadium. It was great. Munson Stadium, old rock edifice. The Tomato Bowl in Jacksonville, old rock stone stadium there. I like a lot of the older ones, but I also like the shining, gleaming new pennies, too. I do like the field in Pflugerville. I do like the Palace on Palmer. There's things to all of those. Probably my favorite place, believe it or not, to call a high school game, House Park. In the days when I could work from the roof. And you have the beautiful downtown view. It's kind of unsafe to go up there now. In fact, they don't let you go up there now, unfortunately.
Yeah, especially after heavy rains as well. That might not be the best place to play games.
All right, stay tuned. Middays of Trey and BK up next. I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Adam Wagner. This has been the Horn High School Spotlight.